Hi, this is Steve Hall. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm talking now about some practical tips for marriage enrichment that Vicki and I compiled a few years ago just based on our own marriage and thinking about marriage, studying about marriage, praying about marriage, living marriage. and these are some things we've come up with that we think may help any marriage. Now, I realize not all marriages are alike. We're all different. You know, this is just our personal opinion. We don't claim to have a perfect marriage. We're still working on a lot of this stuff, but we believe these things have made a huge difference for us and can for you as well. So we'd encourage you just to think about it, pray about it, meditate about it, and see if there's a way you can maybe implement some of this into your own marriage. If you're interested in seeing this in printed form, you can go to our website, aboundingjoy.com. And in the little search window you'll find on the homepage there, just type in marriage tips and you'll find the article pretty quickly. I probably need to say this too, maybe with the exception of the first one, all the other tips are just kind of in random order. So don't consider these to be arranged in priority order or anything like that. Except for the first one. And the first one is this. We seriously seek with all of our hearts to keep the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of our marriage. We want Him to be Lord of our lives and Lord of our marriage. Now, when you want to know, well, what does that mean in practice? Well, it means a lot of things, but I think some couples think, okay, we're going to church together, so that should cover the spiritual base, right? Well, maybe sometimes, maybe, and that's good. I'm glad you're going to church together. Some couples say, well, we pray together at meals. You know, we always say grace before our meals. That's good, too. I guess the warning I would have for you is that sometimes we can go through the motions of what it means to be a Christian without it really being at the core of our being, you know, without our passion for Christ being real and powerful and at the center of everything. So be sure if you're really going to church, that's good. Be sure if you're going, you're not just kind of going in a perfunctory way. Make sure you're getting into it. You know, you're worshiping, you're fellowshipping, you're listening, you're learning, you're growing. You know, make sure you're really into it with your whole heart. And yes, we do that. We pray together. We pray before meals, but we pray at other times too. We have devotions in the morning where we read just a few verses of Scripture, sometimes one. Sometimes we'll spend two or three days on one passage of two or three verses. It just varies sometimes depending on what part of Scripture we're in. We may read a long passage of Scripture in one morning. So it just varies, but we'll read that, maybe read a few comments. We'll make a few comments of our own. Of course, we're praying for God to teach us and help us to implement this into our lives through the day. So there are very, very few mornings that we miss that. We do that almost every morning pretty faithfully. That's part of our keeping Jesus at the center of our marriage. We talk about Jesus a lot. It just kind of overflows. You know what I mean? If you're really walking with Jesus through the day, it'll come out in your conversation with your wife or your husband. You know, you'll be saying things like, wow, let me tell you what the Lord did for me today. Let me tell you how the Lord put these circumstances together, how He engineered this today. It's pretty awesome. Or you'll say, the Lord's been so good to me today. Let me tell you what He did. You know, just, I'm so thankful that God did this today, or that He's doing this, or He's putting this together. Just thinking thankfully about what God's doing as He works through our lives. Another aspect of that is asking Him for wisdom. You know, you'll come to several different situations where you're maybe disagreeing about something or having a discussion about something, trying to decide what to do, where to go. Just talk to the Lord about it. Ask Him for wisdom. He said He'd give it to you. Just make that part of your marriage. It's powerful, I'm telling you. Keep Him right at the center of your life. He's with you all the time. So make sure He's Lord of your marriage. And if you're conscious of His presence all the time, it will definitely change the kind of husband and wife you are. All right, here's another tip. Vicki and I love just being alone together. I'm going to talk about this quite a bit in other tips. But at this point, I just want to ask you this question. If you enjoy the presence of someone else more than you do your spouse, I would really encourage you to try to figure out why that's so. That can be kind of complicated, I know, but we ought to be finding things, working, I'm telling you, aggressively, at finding things that we both enjoy doing together. there's a danger in a lot of marriages where the guy enjoys certain things and the wife enjoys other certain things, and they just kind of spend their own time doing their own thing, and their marriage gradually is kind of deteriorating because they're spending too much time with other people doing other stuff and not enough time concentrating on each other. But I'm telling you, there are lots of things in this world to do. There are lots of activities. There are lots of different places to go that both of you would enjoy. So you need to spend some time saying, listen, we need to strengthen our marriage. Let's figure out some things that we would both enjoy doing. And I'll get rid of some of the stuff that I want to do by myself. And my spouse will get rid of some things that she wants to do by herself. And we'll start doing more things together. And you'll kind of grow on each other, you know? I mean, you'll start enjoying that relationship you had when you were younger and when you were dating. So spend time together and love it. Don't just do it and say, okay, got to do this. Let's grit our teeth. We can get through this. Come on, just a couple hours. No. It ought to be, I can't wait. I just can't wait to have some more time with my wife or with my husband. Okay, here's another tip. We try very hard to treat each other with great respect. Have you ever heard husbands and wives, you may do this yourself, fall into the habit of just kind of ordering each other around? They would never say something like that to another adult. Now, maybe it's okay to order the kids around, but sometimes we let the way we talk to our kids bleed over into the way we talk to our spouse. Should not happen. We should not be ordering each other around and saying, do this, do that, get that, pick that up. That's kind of rude. We wouldn't say that to anybody else. Why would we say it to our spouse? So if you need your spouse to do something for you, why not put a little courtesy into it? Would you please, could I please ask you to do this? I hate to ask you to do this, but would you please do this for me? Be gracious about it. And when your spouse does something for you, be tuned in. Don't just take it for granted. Say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing the laundry today. Yeah, I know she does it every week, maybe, or every few days, but thank her anyway. You know, be thankful for the things your spouse is doing to make your life better, to make you happy, and express it. And along with this, there's never a time to be crude or rude to each other, period. I'm talking about in private or in public. Cut it out. You know, figure out how to stop that stuff and change the way you talk. Change the tone of your voice. Teasing can be crude and rude. Sometimes people really enjoy teasing each other, and it crosses a line. I know a little bit of teasing is wonderful, but you cross a line and you start hurting each other. You start stinging each other. And you've probably heard people do this in public. A husband teases his wife, and you think, you cringe a little bit. You think, oh, I wish he wouldn't talk like that. And then he'll say something like, oh, she knows I'm kidding. And that's supposed to soften the blow. And maybe it does soften the blow, but it's still a blow. I say let's just get rid of this harmful, stinging teasing. Okay, here's another one. We try to remind ourselves pretty often of what a great treasure our spouse is to us. Now, let me tell you where I'm coming from here. There's a great danger after you've been married a little while, doesn't take long, for spouses to start taking each other for granted. They presume on each other, and they stop noticing all those wonderful things about their spouse that attracted them to each other in the first place. Instead, all the negative stuff gets blown up in our minds, and we're thinking constantly about, why does he do that? Why does she talk like that? How come he... And we're thinking the negative stuff. Meanwhile, there are other people out there, count on this, there are other people out there, let's take the role of a husband. If I'm a husband, there are other guys out there who interact with my wife at work or at church or in the public spaces, you know, wherever she might be, and they're thinking, man, Steve sure is lucky to have her for a wife. I wish I had a wife like that. And if I'm neglecting the things that attracted me to her in the first place, and they're not neglecting it, I'm in trouble. I don't want to go there in my marriage. I heard a marriage counselor say one time, learn to look at your spouse through the eyes of another. In other words, learn to see your spouse like somebody else's somebody else would look at her, or somebody else would look at him and see the positive things again in a fresh light and be very thankful. I don't consider myself much of a treasure, but Vicki seems to think I'm a treasure, and I certainly know she's a treasure. And if we can keep that attitude about our spouse, it'll help us realize those faults are really pretty small compared to all the things we're thankful for. Okay, here's another one. We have learned that the best way to get our own needs met is to concentrate intensely on meeting my spouse's needs. I'll get my needs met if I quit thinking so much about my needs and think about her needs. Of course, that has to be a two-way street now. If only one spouse is doing it, that can lead to great problems in a marriage. If one spouse is constantly taking the other spouse for granted, got problems. But if we both are working very, very hard to meet each other's needs, we'll find that we get a great deal of joy out of that. If I'm focusing on my needs, and I'm always thinking, well, why isn't she doing this? And why isn't she doing this? I need her to do this. I want her to do this. This is what I want. She's my wife. She ought to be doing this for me. If I'm thinking about myself all the time, I'm going to get ugly. I'm going to sound ugly. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be miserable. It doesn't make me happy. But if I can focus on her needs and get joy out of meeting her needs, and she focuses on my needs and gets joy out of meeting my needs, wow, that's exciting. It's cool. It's a great way to be married. Another one. We both have a strong desire for our marriage to be truly great. You see, we know that marriage represents the relationship of Jesus to the church. It's a pattern, it's a picture of our relationship to Jesus. And we want our marriage to do that really, really well. So we want it to be a great marriage. We want other people to look at our marriage and say, wow, they got a great marriage. We want to communicate that to other people. Now, that takes two people again. I said this earlier, but it takes two people. One person can't be a taker all the time and the other a giver all the time. It's not going to work. That will not be a successful marriage. But if both decide we're going to do whatever we can to make our marriage great and we both want it to be great, then you'll start reading and studying. You'll listen to things like this, yes, but you'll go a lot deeper and you'll start reading and studying and thinking and praying and coming up with creative ways to make your marriage stronger. We highly recommend a book by a man named Willard Harley called His Needs, Her Needs, and a companion book that goes along with it called Love Busters. He wrote both of them. These are very good books just for practical things to help make your marriage great. Work at it. Make it your goal. Related to that, and another tip, is we believe it's really important for us to just be very open and let other people know how much we love each other. You know, we don't mind letting people know. We want people to know that. And so if they see us giving each other approving glances or sneaking a little kiss or holding hands in public or being extra polite or opening a car door for my wife or anything like that, you know, We don't mind if they see us sitting close together in public. We want them to see us loving each other. And I know there's some people out there with weak marriages, by the way. People out there with weak marriages who will tease people like that. And guys will say, oh, you tied to your wife's apron strings, huh? Yeah. Come on, be a man. I mean, you call the shots. You know, you're the one who makes the decisions, aren't you? I mean, all that stuff that they've ruined their marriage, now they're going to try to ruin yours too. Don't let that happen. Let them laugh. Let them tease. Doesn't matter. There may come a day when they'll wish they had a marriage like you. Probably already do. But let's resist the temptation to say negative things about each other. We don't need to say that. If we've got disagreements, sure, we'll have disagreements. We can work that out between ourselves most of the time. I realize there may be times when a couple needs to go to a counselor, an older, wiser Christian who's been in it maybe for more years, probably in a marriage, case of a marriage, a couple that you could say, we got to talk about something. We're having trouble working this out. Yeah, that's a good thing too. But we don't need to air all our petty gripes and complaints to other people about our husband and wife. Have you ever noticed how many men enjoy woman bashing or making fun of women in general or even wife bashing, making fun of their wife in particular? And it works both ways. Women do it too. Man bashing, husband bashing. speaking derogatorily about this other sex and just in general, well, we think that's bad stuff. We think that's dangerous and harmful to a marriage. It doesn't help build a marriage. It helps separate people. So we try to avoid it. I know we're in a minority. That's okay. We want to let people know how much we love each other. You should too. Another tip, we try to be very careful, especially in the world we live in, about how we relate to people of the other sex. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Guys who just fawn all over some other woman who's not their wife. Sometimes they tease and flirt and just kind of cross the line. And I'm not saying men shouldn't talk with other women and wives shouldn't talk with other men. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm just saying let's be really, really careful that everybody knows our spouse is our one and only. And we're not interested in any of this cross-the-line teasing or flirting or anything like that. Here's another one. We enjoy sharing the details of our lives together. You know, I teach at the high school. My wife works at a pharmacy. And lots of things happen through the day. So one of the highlights of our day is getting to talk to each other after it's all over and sharing the details. This is what happened. This happened that was good. This happened that was difficult. This happened that was bad. This happened that was awkward. This happened that was embarrassing. You know, just all the little details so that we can keep up with each other. And that includes, of course, details about phone calls that we've had. Maybe we've talked to the kids. And share all the details. Don't keep them from each other. That leads to another tip that is simply that we don't believe in keeping secrets from each other. If I've got someone at work who knows something that they tell me that they don't want me to tell my wife, and I keep a secret from my wife, then what I've done is placed that person at a higher point in my life, at least in that particular area, than my wife. You know, they become more important than my wife, and that's not a healthy thing. So we just don't keep secrets from each other. We tell each other whatever we know. There's no secret there. We also believe that extends to the past. When Vicki and I first got married, we talked extensively about our past. And that includes our weaknesses. That includes our sins. That includes embarrassing things. For one thing, it's kind of nice to know that there's nothing else in the closet that might come out one of these days that would be awkward or difficult, and our spouse would wonder, why didn't you tell me that? You know, that's kind of not good. That hurts the trust in a marriage. So it's better just to go ahead and get everything out in the open and just agree that whatever you've done, I forgive you. God's forgiven you. I will too. We'll just forgive each other and understand that those things are in the past. But there's another even more important reason why we need to share those secrets from the past. Many times our failures in the past will tell our spouse something very important about our personal weaknesses. And they need to know that. They need to know what our weaknesses are so they can help us, help hold us accountable, help us not fall into those traps again. So, no secrets. Well, in order to keep this podcast a reasonable length, I'm going to conclude this one now. But there are more tips that I hope you'll listen to. Some of the most significant, in fact, are in the next podcast, part 2 of Marriage Tips. So please give it a listen.